Now, 2 Samuel chapter 9, there's too much beauty in here to just ignore it. Let's look at it. Verse number 1, David said, "Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" There was the house of Saul, a servant whose name was Ziba. Now, let me give you some insight into Ziba, what's going on here. Saul's gone. Saul died in battle. His son Jonathan died in battle. But Saul was the king. He had a household. And here Ziba is now the steward of that household. And when you see this take place throughout history, if you're not careful, sometimes the steward will get to acting like they're the boss. He ain't the boss. He don't own this deal. He's just taking care of it for Saul and for his descendants. Saul's dead and gone. But now that this is who Ziba is. And when they called him unto David, the king said to him, "Art thou Ziba?" And he said, "Thy servant is he." And the king said, "Is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him?" You see, David's been blessed so good. You know what David wants to do? He wants to bless somebody else. David's run from Saul. That wicked king has chased him for 10 years. He's tried his best to kill him. He's thrown javelins at him. He's tried to take his armies out against him. Now David's come into power. David's on the throne. Things are going well in David's house. David is now in Jerusalem. And he's reigning, and David has remembered he's got a covenant with Jonathan. And he said, "You know, I just want to show some mercy and I want to show some grace." Now, I told you this morning, this whole picture is a picture of the grace of God in the life of a lost sinner. That's what this whole story is all about. And it is so absolutely beautiful. It paints the most beautiful picture. "That I may show the kindness of God unto him." And Ziba said unto the king, "Jonathan hath yet a son which is lame on his feet." Why was he lame on his feet? Because when he was 5 years old, and word came out that his daddy Jonathan, his grandpa Saul, had died in battle, his nurse grabbed him up, decided to run. Well, what's going to happen? Well, there's fear that any of the descendants of the king are going to get killed. I mean, they're going to run this crowd off. They're going to start all over again. And so she grabs him and goes to run off. And guess what happens? The little boy falls, and now he's crippled. I've already explained this morning, that's a picture of us. We're a fallen creature. We're a fallen race. And it wasn't due to our faults, not that we did anything wrong. It's not that Mephibosheth did anything wrong. It's just how it is. You say, "Well, I don't understand all that. I don't like all that." Don't matter whether you like it, lump it, dump it, jump it, croak, puke, or die. Don't matter. It's just how it is. We've got to deal with it. There are some things in life you just have to deal with, and here's where we are. Now we're going to deal with it. Verse 4, the king said unto him, "Where is he?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Behold, he's in the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel, in Lodabar." Now, I brought out this morning, Lodabar is not in the kingdom. Lodabar, as far as being improper in Canaan's land, it's not. It's not on the right side of Jordan. It's all the way over on the other side of the Jordan River. And here he is. He was the son, an heir to the throne of Saul. He was a son of Jonathan. And now everything he's had has been stripped from him. Every glorious thing that he would have had in the kingdom's gone. He's living so far outside of where he should be living. He's lost his riches, his treasure. He's living in another man's house. He's crippled. He lives in a place called Lodabar. The name of that city literally means a place of no pasture. And it's a ghetto, and it's not anywhere anybody would want to be. Ain't that where I was when God found me? Now, I know where you was when God found you. If he found you, you was living in a ghetto. You was in a place where you wouldn't wish nobody to ever have to be. And that's where he's at. King David sent and fetched him. I'm so glad God come after me when I wasn't able to go after him. out of the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel from Lodabar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth. And he answered, Behold, thy servant. And David said unto him, Fear not. Well, why would he been afraid? Well, David had every right. David could have just sent him out and had him hung. He could have done that. He would have been right as far as the kingdom was concerned. And I guarantee you, there was a bunch of followers of David been glad to have obliged him and done that. But he didn't have to be afraid because David didn't call him to hurt him. Can I tell you tonight, if God ever rings your little bell, knocks on your little heart's door, he ain't there to hurt you. He's not trying to do you harm. He's not there just to humiliate you or dress you down. And he's not come to judge you, but he wants to give you grace and he wants to give you mercy. And when God comes by, he's not trying to scare you to death. He's trying to help you. That's what he wants to do here. David said to him, Hallelujah. Let me get the tears out of my eyes. Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness because you've been such a good feller. That ain't what it says, is it? I'll show you. Hey, God didn't save me for my sake. Brother Terry, God didn't save you for your sake. If he did, he might get over you one day. He saved you for Christ's sake. That's an eternal promise going on right there. And will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. I'm going to come back to that word continually in a minute. And he bowed himself and said, What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? That boy, it's an attitude of your heart when God saves you. Brother Danny, we've talked about that so many times. Why in the world would God save a wretch like me? Well, he really wasn't doing it for me, but he did it, and it's a mystery, and it's a beautiful mystery. And the king called Ziba, Saul's servant, said unto him, I've given unto thy master's son all that pertaineth to Saul and to all his house. Thou, therefore, and thy sons and thy servant shall till the land for him. And thou shalt bring in the fruits that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread alway at my table. Now, what is all this master's son business going on here? You got to remember that Mephibosheth was a young man, 21, maybe 22 years old. He has a young family and he has a child as well. And there's a provision here not only made for Mephibosheth, but for his family. Do you realize when you get saved, you come under the umbrella of God's protection, and you ladies that may have a spouse that's lost, that God told you in his word that because you're saved and your husband or your spouse, if it's the other way around, may be lost, that they're sanctified and your children are sanctified because of you. Say, what in the world is that talking about? That's talking about one simple fact. If you live in an unequal yoke where you're saved and your spouse is lost, just because you're God's child, that means God will bless your home and your spouse and your children get to live under the protection of God because of you. Hey, don't tell me it don't matter how you live. Don't tell me it don't matter what you do for the glory of God. It'll bring a blessing on your family. Having a real church with a real candlestick on this hill, whether folks understand this or not, this is not arrogance, it's not boastful, it's not prideful. God will bless this community for having a real church in the midst. And can I go a step further, that if you are an active, productive part of the New Testament body of Christ in a New Testament church, and you're willing to serve God and be in that church, there's an umbrella of protection for you being in the church. there's plenty of folks, and we've got folks that I love, they're not able to be here tonight. And you know what? There's several of them that are going to be home watching online tonight, and I'm thankful for that. And I bless the Lord that He give us means to be able to do that and that they care enough about what's going on here to be part. But you know as well as I know that there are some folks that are not in the house of God and they're not faithful to the services and they're running around. They may be at Walmart and they may be somewhere downtown or at McDonald's eating supper and they ain't got no cause to think about the church and the things of God. And I'm going to tell you something right now. They ain't walking under the protection of the church either. Well, there's you something to think about sometime when you're awake in the middle of the night. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then said Ziba unto the king, according to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. You know what he's talking about? He's talking about adoption. He's talking about bringing this boy into his family. He was part of Saul's family before. Now he's fixing to be part of David's family. Brother, if this ain't one of the prettiest stories you've ever read. Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Michal. And all that dwell in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table, and was lame on both his feet. If God will help me tonight, I'll just finish up where I was at this morning, and I'll just give you a little bit, and we'll go to the house, and we're talking about the grace of God in the life of Mephibosheth. I probably forgot all my alliteration from this morning, but we seen the fall here of Mephibosheth. We seen the fear of Mephibosheth. We seen the faithfulness of David in remembering his covenant. We seen the fetching of Mephibosheth when there was a ambassage that was sent down to Lodabar to bring him back. That's a beautiful picture of the Holy Ghost of God coming to usher a sinner into the presence of God. And now we see him facing David. Verse number 6 said, now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, the word of God said he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth, and he answered, behold thy servant. And tonight, without trying in any way to be offensive or to be off color and be any offense of any kind to anybody, can I say with earnesty and humility tonight, Mephibosheth at this point did what cripples do best. He fell down. He fell down on his face at the feet of the king and did reverence to the king. That's the posture you better take when you get in the presence of God. And I've seen a whole lot of folks that come to the altar and they're popping bubble gum and they're talking and whispering and looking around and, you know, and somebody's trying to deal with them about their soul. But I got news for you. When God the Holy Ghost enters into the picture and ushers you into the presence of God and brings you to that place of faith and repentance, there'll be a brokenness in you that you won't lay down at Jesus' feet because you recognize what you are. You realize what you are. And you see the attitude, and I've heard this for years, and I continue to say it. I hope you'll know what I mean when I say this, but attitude is altitude. Attitude is altitude. And what I'm saying is the way up is down. The way to have is to give. And when we want to be lifted up, the scripture said we need to abase ourselves. But I promise you, if you lift yourself up, you're going to be abased. I know a preacher and I love him and I care for him. Miss Lori, you know exactly what I'm speaking of. And I've seen that man preach with such a touch of God. I've seen him have God all over him. But I watched that man with that touch of God get so arrogant and get so proud he could strut sitting down. And I see him today that God has literally jerked the rug out from under that man. He has laid flat on his back. He's been in trouble. He's been in trouble with God. He's had no ministry. He's had no way to preach. He's had his health completely taken away from him. And honest before the Lord, I do not believe the man's learned a thing. But I'm telling you, attitude is altitude. If you want to be lifted up by God, you're going to have an attitude that you've abased yourself and you've got down as low as you can get. And buddy, I tell you, there's sometimes that we realize if you've been around God at all and you know anything about God at all, there's times when God shows up, Brother Danny, you just want to find a crack in the floor and crawl in it. Because you realize what you are before God. And the ultimate sign of the loyalty and submission here was the attitude of his heart. And if any man alive, and there were several at this time that could have stood toe-to-toe with David and argued with him and claimed a right to the throne, well, I guess Mephibosheth could have. But Brother Danny, that ain't in his heart. That boy ain't got an argumentative bone in his body. He's been broken. That's why some folks have to go through what they go through before they get saved. It's because God's got to get you broke down and wring you out like a dish rag and break you down like a double barrel shotgun and get rid of some of that pride and some of that arrogance so you can get some help. Boy, I remember one time a precious little old girl, we love her dearly. I seen her in a hospital a few weeks ago and hugged her neck and she wept and held on to me and Miss Lori, and I love her dearly. And I pastored her for a few years, Sister Sheila, and I watched her from time to time. And just in private conversation with my wife, I said, that girl right there is a good girl, but I said, she's lost. She's going to go to hell because she's absolutely too religious to get saved. She's too proud and she's too religious to get saved. And Brother Danny, I was just speaking my heart to my wife. I didn't just go around telling everybody that. But there did come a day that I watched her, and she was an intelligent woman, college educated lady. She could do anything. If you wanted something done, all you needed to do was tell her what you wanted and leave her alone. She was very thorough, and she knew how to get stuff done, and you could just give her something to do, and she'd just do it. There come a time in the Flint Hill Revival, God was moving in great power. And one Wednesday night, God, the Holy Ghost, just decided to drop in. We had a missionary coming to speak that night. God knew what was needing to go on in that service. And I got ready to open up the service that night, Miss Stephanie, and all I did is I stood up in front of that congregation and I said, heads bowed and eyes closed. That's all I said. God fell in that place like a fog bank, and there was folks begin to make their way to the altar, and I watched in the midst of the presence of God, that woman, that young lady come out, Brother Danny, right from about where you're sitting. She couldn't even get to the altar. It was so full, and she fell down in the floor over about right there and wept her way to Christ, repented of her sin, and got gloriously born again. Because God did something with the attitude of her heart. And buddy, I see the attitude is the altitude, and there was no resistance and there was no rebellion. And he assumed a posture and a position of a servant. And that's what he said to David. David said, Mephibosheth, and he said, thy servant is he. He said, I'm just glad to get to serve you. You know what? Tonight, if God would be my helper, whether I get to preach to this beautiful church building full of you beautiful people that I love with all my heart, or if I'm reduced one day to preaching to three or four people standing under a pine tree, it really don't matter where I'm at and what I'm doing. I just want to be a servant. I just want to be a servant. If God let me tote water, I'll tote water. God let me do something for him, Brother Danny, I just want to do something for him. David said, King David said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than dwell in the tents of the wicked. David understood what it was to be a servant. Buddy, I want to be a servant. And he bowed himself in verse 8 and said, what is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? No pride, no arrogance. I see him facing David. Psalm 51:17, I quote it so often, says the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. It's hard to be mad at somebody that's got a broken heart. It's hard to be mad at somebody that's weeping, asking you to forgive them, and you know they're broken, and you know they're contrite for their sin. And I'm just telling you, that's what the Word of God said. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. God don't want your offerings. God don't want your money. God don't want your houses or your land. God don't want the burnt offerings and sacrifices of the Old Testament. God wants your heart to be broken and contrite before him. I see the facing, and then I see the favoring. I won't get too deep into this, but there was a time when Mephibosheth's grandpa Saul, in his wickedness, did some terrible things and killed a lot of innocent people for no good reason. And he slew the Gibeonites, and the children of Israel already had a covenant with them, but he didn't pay any attention to that, and he slew them. He slew the priest. And in 2 Samuel verse chapter 21, verse number 6, there's famine in the land. There's been a drought, and David is beginning to realize that God's angry. God's been hurt. Something's wrong. There's going to have to be something done. And he goes to the Lord and asks the Lord, what's wrong and what do we need to do to fix this? And the Lord said, well, you've done them Gibeonites wrong. And now David's gone to them in verse 6, and he said, ask them, what in the world can we do? Saul has hurt you. What can we do to make amends for this? Now, you remember in the Old Testament, it was an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, blood for blood. And they said, let seven men of his sons, whose sons? Saul's sons. Let seven men of his sons be delivered unto us, that we will hang them up unto the Lord in Gibeah of Saul, whom the Lord did choose. And the king said, I will give them. And the king spared Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, because of the Lord's oath that was between them, between David and Jonathan, the son of Saul. But the king took the two sons of Rizpah, the daughter of Ai, whom she bare to Saul, Armoni, and Mephibosheth, and the five sons of Michal, the daughter of Saul. And he delivered them into the hands of the Gibeonites, and they hanged them in the hill before the Lord. And they fell all seven together and were put to death in the days of harvest, in the first days, in the beginning of barley harvest. You say that's brutal. Yeah, it's brutal, but it's just the way things were. Sin had to be paid for. It had to be atoned for. There had to be something done here. And I see in this story, Miss Lori, another Mephibosheth. There's two of them in this little portion of Scripture right here. There's the Mephibosheth I've been preaching about all day. But he had an uncle, Saul's son, who was his namesake, and his name was Mephibosheth as well. And that Mephibosheth was taken and hanged to satisfy the debt that they owed the Gibeonites. You say, what was the difference? One of them had favor with God and one didn't. You say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about one of them had a relationship with David and one of them didn't. Are you hearing me? Brother Danny, I'm sad to tell you tonight, there's been a whole lot of Danny's been done dead and in hell. Sure, I'm glad you ain't one of them. You can ask yourself, what's the difference? It's a relationship. You got favor with God they didn't get because of your relationship. There's a whole lot of Eds, and I know some of them that are screaming in hell tonight. I'm sure glad you ain't one of them. And there's more than one Mephibosheth here. But this one didn't have to go and be hanged. Why? Because he had a relationship with David. I bless his holy name tonight. I've got a relationship with the darling Son of God, and I'm not going to have to pay a sin debt. It's already been paid. It's already been took care of. I'm under the blood. I'm in the covenant. God cut me in, and I don't want anybody else to have to suffer. But what they do, they do. But I'm not going to have to. Well, glory to God. I love it. The favoring. And I'm getting through, and we'll go to the house. I see the feeding. Verse number 9, the king called Ziba, Saul's servant, and said to him, I've given unto my master's son all that pertaineth to Saul and all his house. Thou therefore and thy sons, and thy servants shall till the land for him and shalt bring in the fruits that thy master's son may have food to eat. He's talking about the young son of Mephibosheth. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread alway. We've already seen the word continually, and I told you we'd come back to it. Now we see the word always, but you know what? In the Hebrew language, they're exactly the same word. They have exactly the same root, and they have exactly the same meaning. At my table, now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. And folks, you don't have to be afraid of somebody that loves you like Jesus loves you. Did you know that in the time that it took Mephibosheth to humble his heart and to bow on his face in front of David, however long that took, Mephibosheth went from being homeless and destitute, having nothing, dependent on the kindness of others, to being in a place to inherit the wealth of his grandpa, King Saul. He got it all, buddy. He got it all. He got all the land. He got all the possessions, all the belongings, all the houses, everything that belonged to Saul. And not only did he get all of that, he got 36 servants. He went from being homeless and destitute to being wealthy with 36 servants in the time it took him to bow before the king. Can I ask you a question tonight? If you're lost, just exactly what it is you're afraid to come to Jesus for? He's going to give you everything. What it is that you've got to lose anyway? You know, what is it you've got? What in the world did I have to lose when I was lost? Heartaches and hard times and sadness and all the aches and pains of this wicked and ungodly world. Do you know the book of Mark? Chapter 10, verse 28 said, Then Peter began to say unto him, Lo, we've left all and have followed thee. And I love this. I put this scripture to work in my own life, in my heart. Sometimes when me and Miss Lori, and I don't say a whole lot about this, we've been married soon be 39 years, Sister Lori and I don't have any biological children. God saw fit to sanctify our life and set us apart for the gospel ministry. We traveled from Southeast Asia to Eastern Europe, all across the United States, Canada, the Caribbean Islands. We could not have drugged little children along. And God saw fit to do that because He's smarter than I am. But you know what, Miss Maddie, God's given me Miss Laura Young and everywhere we've ever been. Miss Kaylee, God's give us youngins we can love everywhere we've been. And I got a whole lot more now the way it worked out than I could have had if we'd have just stayed home and had youngins. You better get a hold of that. You ain't giving up nothing for God. You ain't giving up nothing for God. Jesus answered and said, Verily, I say unto you, there's no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel, but he shall receive an hundredfold N-O-W now. In this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. Brother Danny, looks to me like we're getting a whole ball of wax. We're winning, buddy. We're getting, hallelujah. If we're counting stuff, I'm a winner. I'm a winner, buddy. 2 Samuel 9:11, then said Ziba unto the king, according that all my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. Verse 13 said, so Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem and did eat continually at the king's table. And it says, and he was lame on both his feet. I'll give you three words, quick alliteration, we'll go to the house. He had a portion. He had a portion. He had a physical portion that he got to eat at the king's table, but he had a spiritual portion. He had the fellowship of a family that he'd been robbed of when he was a five-year-old child. His daddy's been dead for a long time. He didn't get the privilege, the honor to get to grow up with his family. And see, now David's giving him a portion. He's not just giving him food to eat, Brother C.L. He's giving him people to fellowship with and to call family. I got that when I got in the church. There is so much in here, I won't get it all out. He got a portion. He got a position. He got adopted to be the king's son. And not only is he getting to eat at the royal table, but brother, he's part of the royal court. He's part of the king's table. They don't just eat food there. They sit around and talk about the things of the kingdom. And what a beautiful, beautiful place that this is. He got a place. He got a position. And you've heard me tell you time and again that when the scripture said in John 14, in my Father's house are many mansions, if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare what? A place for you. Not a mansion. What are we going to do with a mansion anyway? That's talking about our glorified body. Listen to me. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. Miss Stephanie, what's that talking about? Right there. A place at the table. That's Mephibosheth's place. That ain't nobody else's place. That's his chair. That's where he sits. It's his plate. That's his cup. That's his. And don't be messing with it. It belongs to him. You know what God gave me when he saved me? He gave me a place. He gave me a position. He gave me a portion. And I'll tell you something else about being there at that king's table. The word of God said he was lame on both his feet. Now, Sister Sheila, we can talk about that today because that's in the scripture. There's a whole lot of things about that that might have caused him some inhibition, that may have caused him some embarrassment, that may have caused him to feel inferior to other men at that table. But can I just go ahead and say this to you tonight, Brother Danny? As long as that little old boy scooted up under that table, they can't nobody see his legs. They can't nobody see his crippled feet. He sat at his table. Glory to God, I'm going to like it whether y'all do or not. He had a portion. He had a position. He had a place. And the Word of God said he had a permanence. What do you mean he had a permanence? He said back in verse number 10, Mephibosheth, thy master's son shall eat bread alway at my table. And verse 13, so Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem and did eat continually at the king's table. And that word continually and the word alway come from the same root word in the Hebrew language that by definition means continual, perpetual, indefinite, forevermore. Well, looks like you ain't going to get cut out of the family. Do you know something about law? You can disown your children, but when you adopt one, you forfeit that right. You can't disown your adopted child. Mephibosheth's permanently in the deal. I'm glad that God gave me a permanency that I don't have to wake up tomorrow morning. Listen, there's times I come in this pulpit, preach like my head's on fire, and y'all looking like a calf at a new gate, and I'm walking out and I'm thinking Monday morning I'm going to have a yard sale, sell all my books, I ain't preaching again. It don't matter how I feel. I got a permanent place at the table, and it's always going to be there. It don't depend on how I feel. And I'm just going to be honest with you. It don't depend on whether I always show up to eat or not. I've still got a place at the table. It's my place. He gave it to me. And he didn't do it for me. He did it for Jonathan's sake. That's Jesus. Well, I've had a ball. I hope you've had half as much fun as I have. It's been good to be in church. I love you.